My guest, Michael Daly, he's the Chief Deputy Assessor at the Clerk, Recorder, Assessor, and Elections Office, one of three deputy assessors under Joe Holland. Does anyone call you Chief?
I prefer not.
Do you remember that reference from Get Smart?
Oh, yes. I don't remember it because I wasn't around for it, but I do know of it, having studied the history books. Right, wasn't Get Smart? That was from way back.
That was from the 60s, and he was a secret agent, and he would call the guy Chief, and he always said,
Don't call me Chief.
For some reason. I don't know what his title was. I can't remember. So we're going to wrap up our conversation about Proposition 19 and just a little snippet about commercial property and how Prop 19 impacted that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it impacted it greatly, I guess, in that it's, like I said earlier, the principal residence criteria really limits it because, you know, commercial properties you typically don't live in. And so there may be some exceptions for like a mixed use property where, you know, you live on the property. And we tend to look at the value of the, lack of a better word, home site. But in most cases, commercial property would not be eligible for this kind of exclusion. Again, namely out of the principal residence criteria. And they're not so much commercial, but maybe more agricultural, rural farms, family farms that can still benefit from the exclusion. But in general, commercial property, not, rental property, not going to benefit from this, the exclusion now, the intergenerational transfers.
Right. Yeah. Makes sense. Or I mean, not, but I understand what you're saying. And that had a big impact on a lot of people, some friends of mine and one person who owned rental property right before Prop 19 went into effect, hired an attorney and paid a lot of money and did some creative things with a trust and might've transferred the property to her child. And somehow was able to not be impacted by Prop 19, kind of a 11th hour thing, but I don't know that much about it. So you mentioned during the break that we're in the new construction season. That was funny. I never heard that before. What is a reassessable and what isn't reassessable on new construction?
Yeah, so what I mean by that is that we're in the office, we're in season for doing a lot of the new construction assessments before the roll closes in June, and it's all effective as of the January 1st lien date. So we're looking at the status of construction on January 1 and making determinations about value and level of completion as of that date. So what often gets people is, you know, first there's this misconception that's pretty dire and drastic is that if I do construction, my whole property is going to get reassessed, and that's not accurate. If you're adding on an addition, we're just going in and adding value for that addition. You keep the base value of your original property, and we add on a second base for just that portion. And then the other thing is just what is accessible and what not is not accessible that you just asked is if it is maintenance, you know, you're doing a minor remodel, maybe you're painting the exterior, you're replacing some drywall, or maybe you took out an old tub and put in a new tub. Stuff like that is not going to get reassessed. It's when you do, you know, whole redos, big remodels. One of the tests we use in our office, and it's in the law, is, you know, something that's substantially equivalent to new. So if you rip out your entire backside of your home down to the studs and put all in, you know, a new kitchen, new bath, new bedroom, you may think that's a remodel, but that could be a reassessable new construction event where you've made your home substantially equivalent to new, even if it's just a portion of it.
And when you use the term, you put in a new bath or a new kitchen, you're not saying an additional, you're just saying an extensive remodel of existing.
Yeah, an extensive remodel of existing to the point that it could be considered new. Our office will do, you know, proportional percentage demo credit, demolition credit of your of what you've done, and we'll add back the new. So it can get a little nuanced. It can get kind of we really encourage cooperation and collaboration, you know, between our office and you, the taxpayer, so that we can talk about, you know, what is and what isn't, and really dial it in, because we want to get it right. We're trying to be as fair as we can and apply it equally to everybody. And sometimes the more information we have, the better that can be done. But
so
yeah,
the key really is to hire a kind of a incompetent contractor who's not going to do a great job. Then you won't reassess the remodeling.
Well, we do try to look at, you know, the quality of construction and take that into consideration. But, you know, ultimately we're looking for what is the value of what's been done. And again, if it's maintenance, if it's something just to keep the home or the property maintained, then that usually isn't going to get reassessed. It's got to be pretty significant.
Extensive. And then the question is, how do you calculate what impact of the total basis? Do you speculate on the increase in market value? Do you do a cost analysis of what was spent?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, we can do multiple approaches to try to come at value for construction, but typically the main one is cost. We'll look at what has been spent, you know, on the project, and then there's an approach we use to look at, you know, what is typical costs compared to what a person spent on a project, and ultimately we come up with value. But it's very interesting. I mean, cost does not always equal value. So, you know, there's things that we have to take into consideration, things that are maybe either in excess to what's typical. You know, you might not receive value on the market for having a, you know, I always love the gold plated toilet example or whatever.
Right.
You know, some people may not
now, what's
value
the
that.
What's the third criteria for a tax appraiser? There's cost, market, and
And income. The cost approach, the comparative sales or market approach, and then there's the income approach, which is pretty standard for commercial properties.
More commercial. And then what about leading into, just got a couple of minutes left, my guest,
yeah,
Michael Daly, Chief Deputy Assessor, County Santa Barbara. What about when people now are adding ADUs?
Yeah, so that's the same as, it's pretty much the same as an addition. If you do an accessory dwelling unit and it's an additional, you know, maybe it's a detached, that's pretty straightforward. We'll add the square footage for that. Where it gets kind of fun is the conversions of rooms. Like if you convert the garage, you know, there could be some value picked up in that, because you're taking it from a non-livable space to a livable space. But again, we're only picking up the construction aspect. So you're still going to retain some of your original base value on the garage, but you might get some added value for, you know, making it conditioned space, adding, you know, ducting or adding electrical or adding insulation and drywall. There could be some additions of value for that.
And if you're not spending a ton of money and you're not going to rent it out, let's say it's for your mother-in-law, although I don't know why you would do that, then maybe, you know, you don't get as big a bump. Possibly.
Each scenario, we try to do our best at being, you know, fair and equitable across the board, and it really does depend on the size, scope, and degree of the project.
Okay. Well, that's a good way to
the occupant
that's a good way to tie a bow on it. I wish you would change the tax year to just the calendar year. It's so confusing with due November, delinquent December, due in February, delinquent April, January through June. See if you could change that. And also, if you listen to today's show, are you offering a discount on reassessment if someone calls you directly?
No discounts allowed. No,
okay.
We got to follow the law. So.
Michael Daly, Chief Deputy Assessor, County Santa Barbara, and the Clerk, Recorder, Assessor, and Elections Office. I learned a lot. And thanks so much for taking the time, and we'll see you March 11th at the webinar.
Sounds great. Thank you, Mark. Really appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you. Bye for now.
All right, bye.
The rest of you stay tuned. And by the way, that webinar, March 11th, Alameda County Assessor plus Michael Daly, hosted by First American Title. If you want the link to that to sign up for it, you can text me 805-452-2428 or email me Mark with a K at RadioRealEstate.com. Stay tuned for the weekly multiple listing sales update.